happy and we're singing and we're colored. Give me a high five.
Yo, yo, this your boy Flaw 700.
What's going on, everybody? It's your boy Fresco.
And we are the Podcast Brothers, and this is episode 9.
Episode 9.
It's been about, what that makes it, like 2 months and a half?
Two months and one week.
Yeah, if you want to be specific.
2 months and 1 week.
I ain't specific. It's almost 3 months.
It's not. It's 2 months and 1 week.
Almost three.
You got another 3 weeks before 3 months.
It feels better
months.
If you say it that way.
All right. Yeah, so we 9 episodes deep, man. Yo, shout out to everybody who been listening. Hey, shout out to everybody checking my Periscope.
Speaking of that.
Already. What's
speaking
up?
Speaking of that, we got hit up in Kingston, Jamaica.
What?
Yeah.
Damn.
I cut
last
you off.
Week, last week it was China. This week is Jamaica.
Kingston, Jamaica.
Kingston, Jamaica.
Somebody rock with us out there. Shout out to you.
Shout out to Kingston, Jamaica. I've been to Jamaica a couple times, actually. It's fucking awesome as hell out there. I went twice. I went to Montego Bay and Negril, I believe it was.
That's what's up. Never been. Need to be, though.
Awesome places, man. So, yeah, as I was saying before, I was rudely cut off. As normal. It's cool, though. I'm actually starting to accept it. But shout out to everybody who been rocking with us, man. Shout out to everybody who followed the Twitter page. Shout out to everybody following me on Periscope right now while we live streaming. Shout out to everybody who leave comments on SoundCloud. Yo, check us out on iTunes, Google Play. Make sure y'all comment and leave reviews so your boys can hit the charts, make some noise. You know what I'm saying? Be up there with the heavy hitters because we on the way anyway. We want y'all to make it shit faster. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And listen, man, where your Android users at, man? I'm always looking at the statistics. God damn it.
He can't say statistics.
Yeah.
I'm always say stats, bro.
I'm looking at the stats. And it says 97, if not 98% of the people that check us out are on Apple. Where's the Android users at, man?
Huh? Maybe they're using SoundCloud.
Might be.
Maybe
they're
using SoundCloud.
Might
be.
Could be.
I use Google Play myself. It's just something about it that, you know, when I get the subscription that says episode such and such as whatever, I'm Podcast Brothers, it pops up right there on my phone. I'm like, oh, shit, look at us.
I mean, it's cool because I count them all together. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm watching, I'm promoting, but it's just when you want them iTunes, see, Google Play, they let you subscribe, but they don't let you review. They don't let you rate.
Right, yeah,
I think Google Play. I think Google Play is like a step behind. iTunes is where it's at because it actually lets the people interact by reviewing and leaving. You know, what I mean, a rating, and that allows iTunes to see who's like, actually popping.
It's like a gift and a curse for Android phones because at the same time, you're not just restricted to just Google Play. You have third-party apps and such that you can use that don't let you use reviews, or it might let you use reviews. Maybe most of the people that leave reviews on SoundCloud are people that would use Google Play if it wasn't a monthly subscription.
Do you know how many people I've hit up with an Android phone, say, hey, you use Google Play? And they say, what's that?
Wow.
They don't even know what Google Play is.
Wow.
Because they too busy bootlegging their music.
If you got Google Play, you automatically get YouTube Red free. Don't know if y'all know that, but if you have Google Play and you subscribe to Google Play, you automatically get YouTube Red. If you don't know what YouTube Red is, YouTube Red will enable you to watch YouTube even when you close out the app.
But yo.
So, yeah. So, do yourself a favor.
Android users are too busy stealing. Android users get everything for free. They don't understand getting something like paying $9.99 for music and I can just download it.
Hey, man, that's funny. Yo, I got a guest in. We have a guest in here today, man. It's been a homie since high school. You know what I'm saying? She's been around, you know, for a very long time. Very good person, man. We would like to welcome to episode 9 of Podcast Brothers, Kendra.
Hello.
Our first female guest.
First female guest. Y'all been asking for a woman guest for a while. You know what I'm saying? We got one. How you doing?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
You know, chilling and shit, you know.
I'm good, too.
We all good.
Oh, yeah. How are you?
She didn't say, how are y'all?
Yeah, how are you? Like, I'm not, like, I'm not sitting right here.
It's all good. So, what's up, Kendra? How you been, man?
I'm pretty good. Just working, you know.
Yeah, don't I know it.
The adult grind.
Yeah, don't I know it, man. So, before we get into today's main topic, I want to shoot some shit real quick. Yo, y'all ever been to a rap concert?
Yeah.
You been to a rap concert?
The Roots Picnic count?
I don't know.
They have rappers there.
I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know.
There's a Roots Picnic.
Does a Roots picnic count as a rap concert?
That's a good question.
I don't think people go there to even pay attention to the music. Honestly, if I just walk around and enjoy the festivities and the food, like I don't.
Yeah, that's very sit there awkward. Because are you eating or are you enjoying the Roots? Which one?
Just say yeah.
I was watching.
Let's just go with live performance for that one.
Okay. Have you ever been to a live musical performance?
Yeah. Let's go with live performance. Let's do that. All right. I asked that question because Friday night, me and my boy Nash, shout out my boy Nash, we went out to the Wiz and Snoop concert at the Camden, at the BB&T Pavilion or Susquehanna Bank Center, whatever the hell it's called. And based off my experience there, I think I'm pretty much fucking done with rap concerts.
Really?
Yeah, I think I'm done.
Is that the video where everybody, like, the stage or the,
yep,
the yep. fans? So why are you done? Because, like a mishap happened?
I wasn't done because of that.
Okay.
I didn't even know that happened until the next morning.
A word?
I was in the front row. And that shit happened. Because what happened was, I was in the front row and they had the big stage right there, right? So, like, halfway through Snoop and Wiz's performance, they did like a pop up. It was like a stage in the middle of the crowd, like so the people way in the back could see and shit.
Okay.
So I guess when they came up that close, the people from the back came rushing up towards the rail and put too much pressure on the rail, and the shit collapsed and like 45 people fell and got hurt. But I was done way before that even fucking happened. Honestly, let me tell you why. Yo, now I'm sitting front row. I never sat front row at a concert before. I was pretty fucking excited. Janae Aiko was first. I like Janae Aiko's music. I like her music, but I think I'll stick to just listening to her sing through my headphones and speakers because she was pretty boring. She was pretty boring. Why are you looking like that?
I'm trying to get where you're going. That's all.
She was boring.
Continue your story. Okay.
She was boring. Like, I like her music. Okay, yeah, but it's like, I think she would have had somebody else on stage with her. I think it would have been way better. Whatever. So I wasn't really there to see her anyway. So I let the people who was there to see her enjoy their time. Then Kevin Gates came on.
Oh, man.
I don't know any of Kevin Gates' music, but honestly, I was impressed.
He can
perform. Oh. If I would have known.
Did he kick anybody?
No. No, he didn't kick anybody. If he wanted to, he would literally. The stage was so high. Like, since I was front row, the only people in front of us were in the pit. And the pit was right in front of the stage. And he would have had to get down in the crowd to kick those motherfucking people because that's how high the stage was.
Okay.
But if I would have known more of his music, I just don't listen to Kevin Gates. If I'd have known the music, it would have been dope for him. That was he did a pretty good job. He was up there regular as hell. He had on gym shorts, a t-shirt, and flip-flops, sports sandals. He was chilling.
But that's okay?
Is it?
No.
I'm sorry. Shit.
I don't like it either.
When you pay for something, I want you to look good. I want it to be a show. I don't want to pay for you in your house clothes.
Got you. Yeah.
I mean,
you
I understand
showed up like
that.
You didn't care.
Right.
I understand
like,
that.
Especially in like Camden. Who cares about Camden, you know? And he come out in flip-flops.
I mean, I go to Camden like that, too. So I guess that's from a woman's perspective because, you know.
Yeah.
I don't really give a shit. As long as he wasn't naked, like, I don't give a damn. You know, that would have been bad overall. But he was all right. So then Wiz comes out and Snoop comes out. My problem is with Snoop. Snoop was boring.
Oh.
Snoop was very boring. I can't really, like, his hits that he performed, they was dope with, like, the first 5-10 minutes. After that... He got so white.
Hey, I'm going to tell you something that I noticed because when the video came on and, you know, because Wiz and Snoop was on stage.
Right.
And before the stage collapsed, I'm looking at Snoop doing this lazy spin.
You seen that?
Yeah, I'm like,
I said he looked old as hell.
Like this lazy spin. He can't even barely turn around. Yo, I thought I was the only one that peeped
that. I said, look at Snoop with his old ass twirl.
Like, yo, look at this dude spinning. Like, why is he spinning like that?
Old ass twirl. Like, he really looked like he didn't want to be there. Ah, let me do this dance for these motherfuckers.
I had to watch the video two more times to actually see the stage collapse because I'm scratching my head at Snoop. Like, yo, son, like, what? Why is you spinning like that?
I swear to God, when I saw the video, I saw that before I saw the people fall.
Right.
I was like, what the fuck is Snoop doing? Right. So, like, Wiz, I'm a big Wiz fan. I like his music. So when he first came out, he performed We Them Boys and Bake Sale, right? Got the crowd all into it. Then he performed some old stuff. Like, they were going back and forth. First Snoop came out, and then he'll do 2 or 3. Then Wiz come out, then they do 2 or 3. And then they was like both on the stage at the same time. After like when they started performing their music together, I said, "Hey yo, I got to go." Like, I sat down. I leaned back in my chair and I was like, "Yo, this shit ain't for me no more." And it's so many. Yo, parents, do y'all watch? Do y'all look in y'all kids' bags before they leave the house to go to like concerts? I swear it was like 11 and 12 year olds in there.
11 and 12.
Yo, they look like 11 and 12 year olds. They was dressed like grown women. Most of the chicks had on like the little cut off shorts with the riffles on the end. Man. I don't know what the hell they called. But yo, they was mad young. Yo, for like full lipstick, long weaves. It's like, yo, bitch, like, don't you got school tomorrow? Even though it's the summertime, like, you should still be going somewhere to read a book. Like,
yeah. Hey, yo. As far as music performances go, I think I went to like one like a long time ago, Jay-Z. It was pretty dope. But back to live performances, when I went to go watch a basketball game, I'm sitting there thinking
the same
thing.
It wasn't the same as
TV, like,
right?
I would rather watch this at home. Yeah, like, I don't feel it. Like, right. the dunks. You don't even, like, you
barely
back and
notice
you say,
it.
Yeah. And you sit back and you say, y'all get paid millions to do this? I don't right. see no energy. It's like, you see more passion on television.
On TV,
yeah.
Right.
I ain't really see it live, so I ain't really too big on going to the basketball games. But if I do go, it'll just be for the fact to say that I went to go see a certain individual play.
Right.
Like, I would have loved to go see Kobe's last game.
Oh, man,
in Philly.
I would have took somebody's arm off to go to that game.
Just to say I did it, but to actually say, hey, man, let's go see a basketball game, I will probably enjoy it more at home.
Yeah, and then at basketball game. You been to a basketball game before, Kendra?
Yes.
Which one? Who you go see play?
I've seen a few. Miami Heat, Celtics, Phillies.
Damn, where you go to see that game? Miami or Boston?
Sixers.
I was about to say, you balling.
No, I seen some in Miami when I lived in Florida. And I saw some, well, you know, Sixers Stadium. You can see everything cheap.
Shout out to the Sixers fans.
You know?
Like. Yeah. When you was living in Florida, where'd you live at?
In Orlando.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you were a Miami Heat fan while you were living in Florida, is what you're saying?
I was
basically.
A Miami Heat. No, I was a Dwayne Wade fan.
I didn't
fan.
Hear you say you went to any Orlando Magic games.
No, I did not go to the Orlando Magic games. I didn't really care.
I can imagine those tickets were pretty cheap, too. Probably the equivalent of what a Sixers
tried.
Ticket would cost.
I didn't even think about it.
Why not?
Because I was being dumb, spending my money to get
you
to
just
Miami. Want,
just say you wanted to go to Miami?
Yeah, right. I'm going Miami's to Miami. Where it's right. popping. Come on, Miami, Miami, Orlando. Come on now.
I'm just saying, convenience-wise, like, it's
it
right
been
there.
It would hella convenient to just go down the street to the
you,
Orlando
So
Magic.
You never came to see, you never went to see Miami play Orlando at the Orlando's?
No. No. Nope.
I'm going to wait till y'all go to Miami.
That's funny as hell. I'm going to wait till y'all go to Miami to watch my own home team.
Meanwhile, play Orlando somebody else. Arena's right across
it's
the
right
street.
Across the damn street. Right. Yo, that's funny as hell.
I never even thought about it.
All right, so another reason why I was thoroughly disgusted at this concert. So, mind you, like I said, I'm sitting front row. And this was Janae Yuka was still on stage. And DJ Drama happens to walk past, right? He walks right past us, and he's talking to some people off, like, 2-3 rows behind us. I told my boy, I was like, yo, check Drama out. He was like, nigga, that ain't fucking him, nigga. Like, mad aggressive. I'm like, damn, like, I got eyes. I can see him. That's DJ Drama. So we going back and forth for, like, 2 minutes, if it's him or not, whatever. So he makes his way back around, right, to walk backstage. The dude who was sitting next to me, he was with his girl. He stopped Drama in his tracks, handed his girl his phone, and said, take this picture of me and Drama. I thought that was severely gay.
I thought he was going to hand him a mixtape.
I would have, you know, it wouldn't have struck me as weird if he would have did that as opposed to try to take a picture with him. Yo, Drama, check my music out. I thought that was really weird, yo.
What's worse, handing a celebrity your mixtape or taking a picture with him?
Damn.
I don't know. Well, making your girl
I'm going to say take the picture.
Well, who else is supposed to take the picture?
She should have took the picture
took
with him.
Yeah, they could have all took a selfie.
You know what I'm saying? Like, why did he
I see your point.
Weird.
I see your point.
Like, it was mad weird. Like,
he wanted to be in the picture, too. Why he do that?
Yo, I was mad as hell. I said, yo, my nigga, he ain't just do that. So he ain't just stop this man cleaning his tracks and hand his girl his phone so he can take a picture with Drama.
It was the heat of the moment. He wasn't thinking.
I'm upset because I don't think that 45 likes he gonna get on that picture was worth embarrassing yourself in front of all those damn
First
people.
Off, he's DJ Drama. Do anybody really know what he looks like? He's a really behind the scene DJ.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. True. So yeah. He's really only, he might get 27 likes right. off that picture.
Right.
Granted, people don't know much. Who he is. I know what he's going to do. He's going to take the picture and he's going to tag DJ Drama name yep. all in it. You know
all
what I'm saying?
Crazy.
Front row at the concert with DJ Drama. Yo, he was there for 4 seconds, bro. You weren't with him. He was there for four flat seconds.
I'm still mad at the Snoop Dogg spin, man. Like, it's over. Like, it's time to retire.
I didn't even see that.
Snoop Dogg.
I put it on my Instagram page. Please go see it.
Besides rapping, Snoop Dogg could dance. So it's
no, he can dance.
He got a bop. He cool with it.
Well, he got like a gangster dance. That he don't need to be spinning.
He don't need to be spinning. And if you see that spin that he did at that moment, you will agree. That shit was bad,
he
yo.
He took his sweet time.
Yo, somebody need to meme the shit out of that video. They need to put him in a wheelchair going in a circle
the
in that video.
Dog
like,
spin.
Yo, oh it was God. It was really that bad, yo. But, and then I'm thinking like Snoop doing, he doing Gangsta Party. He doing Gin and Juice. I'm like, bro, these motherfuckers in here is like 14. They don't know this shit.
They don't know nothing about
that. Why he got that mustache, though? You seen it?
I ain't see it.
You ain't see his mustache where it's just like a butch. It just comes down like that. Like no goatee. He's just a thick.
Oh, I did see that. He had that for a minute, didn't he?
I'm just saying. Why do you got he got that cop stash, you man? Say,
you saying he got to grow a beard, basically?
Yeah, I just don't like it. I just don't
I never
like
really,
it.
I never, yo, shout out to my brothers with big mustaches, man. They be getting on this and shit, but you know what I mean?
The mustache is cool as long as you got something to connect it with. But if it's just out there by itself... Yeah, you might gotta let that go too.
Like
yeah, you might. I mean, you can make the same argument for niggas with full beards and no hair.
No hair where?
I'm fucking with you. She didn't get it.
No.
She
like,
didn't get it.
Well,
I didn't like it.
Didn't
it doesn't
know.
Work.
I got it. It fucking worked for me. That's all
it was,
that matters.
I think it was whack.
Anyway, so yeah, all those experiences combined is pretty much why I feel like I'm done with rap con. No, wait. This is the main part. Yo, I got so mad. So Snoop on stage, he like, everybody say Snoop Dogg. And these motherfuckers are like, Snoop Dogg. I'm looking around like.
That's at every show, though. That's what
you're supposed to do. They do that. They get them hype. They get you connected with
how
the
does,
crowd.
How does, fuck that. How does me screaming your name get us hype?
But I get what you're saying. I pay money to see you. You say Snoop Dogg.
You sing the song. Nigga, I'm not screaming your fucking name
you
out here.
You say Snoop Dogg.
But they
I
do that
say.
At every kind of
yeah,
concert.
They do.
Get like crowd participation. Get people involved because they probably sleep.
So what
so
if
you
Snoop?
Wake them up.
So what if Snoop told you to put your hands up and wave them from side to side? Would you,
you
get mad
do
too?
It?
It depends on the song he was performing and how drunk I was. It all depends on that particular mood at the
like
moment.
This. Put your hands like this.
I might, you know what I mean? I might get crunk real quick or some shit like that, but I'm not chanting your name.
Yeah,
like,
that's crazy.
I am,
you pay so much money to go see them, and they want you to do perform their music for you. What about the artists who don't even rap their songs?
Yo,
they let
the crowd
play.
Let the crowd do it. Yo, they stop singing. They point the mic to the crowd and let everybody
finish. They tired.
Man.
You ain't know that?
Yo,
I'm just tired.
Aren't you,
a break.
To, aren't you supposed to work out when you, before you do like performances or if you on the road doing shows or you dancing back and forth and rapping?
I'm telling
that
the crowd.
That takes breath control.
I'm like, telling right. the crowd, shut up. This is my song. Let me sing my song. So let's start rapping my song. They say, yo.
Nobody coming to this nigga concert.
Cut the beat. Cut the beat. Cut the beat. Hey, yo. Yo, listen up. This is my record. Don't sing alone.
You don't.
All right, DJ. Put it back on.
I'm leaving.
Hey, yo, I'm never going to one of your concerts, Steph.
I'm leaving.
The whole purpose of me being here is to sing along.
I'm
right?
walking,
seen
the I'm walking off. Don't sing my song.
You won't get paid then. And then you won't get booked for any more tours.
You are done. Dude.
Kevin Gates is out here kicking people on tour. He's still getting booked.
Kevin,
well,
that's a good point.
I
was about to make an excuse for him, and that's a good point.
And he kicking women. He beating women.
Listen, yeah. He ain't got to worry about me going.
Right.
Yeah. Do you like, who would you go see in concert?
Sugar. Rap?
Anybody.
J. Cole?
Yeah, I fucks with J. Cole. I think J. Cole would probably be like the last rap concert I'll probably ever go see.
I feel like it'd be chill.
Kendrick got a dope show, too.
I don't know if I want to see Kendrick, though.
Yeah, I like Kendrick's music, but I don't know if I would.
Hey, you
want to
know something? And I'm saying that y'all are doing this, but why can't people really love Cole and really love Kendrick? I've never seen that.
Because they feel like
that.
It's an East and West Coast thing again. Like, you
so?
Can't love Biggie and Pac. It's an issue. People are crazy
Jay-Z and Nas, because that was me. Like,
but they from the same area.
Yeah, but Jay-Z's great.
And then if you say, I like
but
Nas.
But I like Nas as a lyricist better than Jay-Z. Jay-Z, to me, was more like commercial, cool, I'm a old thug, now I'm cool.
Right, but
like,
both of them can't be your favorite. Like, you ever hear somebody say,
yes,
Nas
they can.
And Jay,
they're
you
different.
Can?
They're different.
I think they can, But people draw that comparison where it's either you like Cole or Kendrick.
One or the other.
I always see that. It's just like people Biggie, talk about Cole.
Just like Biggie and Pac. It's like you like one or the other.
And they were two different people. Different rappers.
Yeah.
Me personally, I like Cole better. I think Kendrick can rap his ass off. Like, he's super dope, but like his preference music-wise, I like
Cole better.
I can relate to Cole more.
I came on to Cole late because Jay-Z had him doing commercial records, and I wasn't feeling them, so I wasn't listening to his album.
Right.
But his singles, I'm like, yo, this is trash. But when I listened to the mixtapes and the full albums, then I said, boom. But once again, I was already a Kendrick fan.
Right.
So that's just where I stand at it. Like I think Kendrick is dope. He's definitely one of the nice. I think Cole is too. But when I talk to other people, for some reason,
they can't like both.
If you put one up, you put the other down, or vice versa.
Yeah. But I think I like Kendrick because I didn't know he was from California.
Okay.
That's why I like him.
Where you thought he was from?
I don't know. Somewhere random. But I like his style.
Like St. Louis or some shit?
Yeah, maybe. Somewhere random.
He sound like Nelly to you?
No, not at all. It's like nursery
Nobody
rhyme
sounds
rats.
Like Nelly.
Right.
Yo.
But I just liked him because I didn't know he was a California. Was he from Compton or something?
Yeah, yeah.
And you think about like The Game or any like Snoop Dogg, they all have a certain style. You can tell they're from the West Coast.
That's why Kendrick works, because he's able to not say, like, he's basically universal.
Right.
You can't really pinpoint where he's from unless he told you or you Googled it.
And with Snoop and the Game, like, they embrace, like, that gangbanging lifestyle. Kendrick, he talks about it, but he doesn't implicate himself as being, like,
a gangbanger.
Yeah, exactly. He tries to put them together.
So he raps on, like, a broader scale than just, like, street shit.
Shooting people up.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's what I think.
Like
that's
that
why
song, The Black of the Berry. Like, both
that's
of them.
My song, yeah.
Both of them, Kendrick and Cole, both have records to where, like, they really do try to uplift their people. And that's kind of like what I was talking about last week with ASAP Rocky. Like, he wants to, like, don't talk about uplifting your people if you're not making that music. And I think J. Cole and Kendrick are definitely the leaders of hip-hop right now. It's just the fact that because they are, you're going to pick a side, Kendrick or Cole. I want to see that album. Like, I need them to do an album together, Kendrick and Cole.
That'd be crazy.
That'd be really cool.
I would like to hear that. I would really love to hear that.
Yeah.
Yo, speaking of the powers that be on the East and West Coast, hey, do y'all watch the TV show Power?
Of course.
Listen. I don't mean to toot my own horn.
I've been waiting to talk about this for a long time.
I personally put everybody on the Power.
You didn't put me on Power.
I put everybody on the Power. I was the first one watching Power. Knew about it before it was coming out. But talk to me. Which one?
Everybody knew about it before it was coming out. That's how the people started watching it.
Talk to me.
It's called promotion, bro.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. Talk to me. What you want to talk about?
Yo, so what do you think about James St. Patrick, as he wants to be called?
That's his name.
Now is his name.
It's his birth name.
Now
is
his name.
Now is his name. Now is his name.
That's his birth name.
Attempting to reinvent himself.
I think every man can change.
Any grown man that says, yo, you're like 38 and you're telling your close, yo, call me James. It's like, now you're
That's
James.
Maturity. That man don't want to be 40
at 38, calling somebody, introducing somebody you know in your whole life as your government name is growing up.
At 38.
I mean, it's just because the name is tied to something so negative. And if you're out in the street and you're like, oh, that's Ghost, and it's a cop around, they know the name
he
Ghost,
told that to
you're
his,
going to jail.
He told that to his wife.
Because she want, because
it wasn't a random guy. He told that shit
like
to his
that
wife.
She calls him Ghost.
Right.
I think that's weird.
Right.
That's weird as hell.
Who did you marry?
Like,
James
I'm not
St. Patrick.
My husband, his street name, like, oh, right. Pinky. Like, what? That's weird as
but
hell.
But that's who she, that's
oh,
Pinky.
I just thought about
shit.
That.
Jesus.
Who the hell you mess with named Pinky?
Listen.
Man, man. That's that Florida life, right?
You gotta call me James after that. Listen, don't call me Pinky.
Yeah, don't call me. Hey, look, girl, I told you right now, goddamn, my name is not James. You will not no longer refer to me as Pinky. You understand?
But I'm just saying, funny. It's just like, you know, that's weird.
I mean, but who does she grow up knowing, though?
James.
People can change.
No.
If
we just meeting right now and I tell you my name is Pablo, and
you
I lead
what?
You to believe my name is Pablo until like 2 years later, I go, nah, my name is Fresco.
No, but
you
never,
still gonna keep calling me Pablo.
I never took street names. Even younger, like if you tell me, oh, my your name Pablo, I'm like, okay, what your mama name you? Like that's the way I was. Like I'm never
Pablo.
I was never okay with not knowing your real name. So if something happened, I'm like, oh, I was with Pablo. They're going to look at me like I'm crazy.
That's not saying that she didn't meet him as James and then he turned into Ghost.
Right, because they were young, right?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure she met him as James and he said, listen, I'm going under. Call me Ghost.
But she hood. She ride or die. So she going to be like, oh, my baby daddy's ghost, my husband is ghost. Like, right. That's cool to her.
Right, you're right.
Yo, I don't like what the nigga's doing, man.
Yo, first season.
I don't like it.
Season one, right? He went to his wife and told her, I want out the business. And she told him, no, you're a drug dealer. That's what you're going to remain. Once she said that,
she didn't say that.
What did she say?
You exaggerate
that,
like a
woman. No, she was like,
That's a direct quote?
It's not 100%. It's a little mixed up.
Yeah, but it's a little mixed up.
But it's definitely, she said, no, you're not getting out the game. She want the money. The club ain't making enough money for him to not be a drug dealer, basically.
Listen. So, all right, him trying to get out the game, that's cool, right? But they had one conversation about him making a full-time transition to the club, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just one conversation. Do y'all recall them talking about it at any other point where it was like a back and forth like argument?
No, because just that one conversation. No. So what you gonna say if your woman say no? Then usually that means no, right?
Conversation's over.
Right, party done.
I know what I gotta do now.
I gotta sling some more drugs.
Not necessarily, yo. I don't agree necessarily because at that same moment where he had that conversation with Tasha, he already had it in his mind. He was fucking with Angela.
Was he?
He was already gone. I might be blurry. I don't know if he had that conversation
with
her.
He wasn't with Angela yet. He got her phone number, though.
He already got her phone number.
No, he didn't.
Yes, she saw them get her phone number. She saw them in the club. I think that was the first or second episode of season one. He got her phone number in the club.
I don't recollect that.
But that don't mean he was like, oh, I'm going to leave my wife now.
It was already in his mind. He was already
with Angela. No, because it's like your first love, and you haven't seen them since what, like 18? And then they pop back up. You're like, oh, shit. No, is that you?
Hell no.
Yes, you are.
Hey, what's up? Anything good?
But that's
good
his.
No, but it's different.
But that's
like, it
his
was like
story.
It's real love. It was like a real love, not like a puppy love. Like, oh, I used to fill her up in the back of the hallway. Like, no, not like that. Like,
it was like 13. What the fuck kind of real love could that have been?
Gosh. Is that a
what the fuck?
Is that an accurate quote? Was they 13?
Nope.
Okay.
No, I'm saying, but okay. They were in fucking what?
We don't know. High school.
They were in high school.
I assume they met like 8th and 9th grade.
No. Well, no, then you might be
but
wrong.
But they grew up together. She always said they grew up together, so you don't know when they met. It's like
Kendra, no,
that's what I'm saying. That's why I just placed them
from
in
elementary
a general
school.
Point.
You know, you had a girl from elementary school all the way up to high school that you flirt with or whatever, and then when you get old enough, you can have a real relationship. That's a lot of time.
First of all, no man keeps like that's
yes.
like one in like
oh.
2 billion.
No, it happens.
I don't even think it's 2 billion people here. Yeah, I need you to show me those motherfuckers. I don't believe that shit. I need to see those people standing right in front of me and say, yeah, we've been fucking around.
We went to school with a few. Realistically?
I don't know anybody who's been messing around since elementary school.
They flirt and stuff when they're little.
That's beautiful if you've been messing around since middle school.
And then you date seriously.
I know people who've been messing around since high school. I'm not willing to go as far as elementary school.
But I don't know what elementary school you went to, but the ones from my South Trenton part of the town that ended up going with us to Granville, they dated.
How many people are you talking about here?
Because
I got a feeling you talk about like 2 couples.
No, I feel like it's like 3 or 4. Seriously. It's a few.
I mean,
and that's just from my part of town. I don't know about anywhere else.
That's great if that's the case, but I don't fucking believe it. So,
and then he got to worry about Tommy, who don't want to lead a game.
Oh, my God. And that girl, Holly.
Oh, my God. I don't fucking like Holly, but...
She needs to die.
Tommy, listen.
Wow.
But listen, this is my thing, though. This is
why
all this bullshit is happening from Ghost leaving. You set up this network. You set up this empire, goddamn. Now everything is going to shit.
Okay, and you handed it over.
Yeah, right.
To who?
What in the board?
Here you go. Have it.
Handed it over to who? He tried to kill everybody. He didn't hand it over to Tommy. Tommy had to take it.
He tried to kill everybody because he just didn't feel like there was a way out because Tasha told him no.
And what did he tell Tommy? Take your money and start a business. He's trying to help Tommy.
Right.
That's all he did.
Yo,
I'm
going to
kill
like,
everybody. Tommy, take your money. This is your half of the money. Go legit.
He knew that before. He knew Tommy didn't want to go legit way before he did this.
Tommy's too old. Like you're saying 38, 40. Tommy's too old to be selling drugs. I'm sorry. Some things
everybody's too old to be selling drugs. But damn it, they
no,
knew it.
No, when you don't have money.
They knew it.
When you don't have
but
money.
But when you got money,
when you
got
the money,
on money,
it's time to go.
It's time. Right.
Hey, man, look, I don't know what movie it was. I think it was a Robert De Niro movie, but, and I quote, he says, hey, man, told her quit for what? That's the only life I know.
But that's corny. You need to grow up and get another
everybody,
life.
Everybody, yes, listen, you know
you
how many.
Like Mitch off paying for.
You know how, that shit is real, yo. Like, I don't necessarily agree
I can lead
with
the
it.
Game.
Yo, I love the game.
That's That's crazy.
I be selling like Magic Bird and one of them niggas. But no, that shit is real. Like, niggas really don't know how to step outside themselves and do something different. I'm not advocating for it, but it's really what it is.
I understand that, but you got really to find a new comfort zone.
Listen.
You got to find a new comfort zone.
All right, even if that's true, even if that's true, right? Ghost left his whole family because he wanted to own a club with this. With this Puerto Rican thing.
He didn't want to own a club with her. She understood where he wanted to go going forward. Tasha wanted him to still sling
Talk
drugs.
Talk about it.
So he's like, in order for me to move on, I got to let you go.
Right.
And that's his wife. But you got to cut him off.
If he wouldn't have just went ahead and did the club anyway, she wouldn't have went on board.
She was screwing Sean. She didn't care.
She was only screwing Sean because he was fucking
Angela.
She
was screwing Sean because she was getting the attention.
Yeah.
It wasn't even about Angela. Hold on.
It was all about Angela.
No,
he was fucking Angela for a minute before he started fucking Sean.
But she didn't even know that.
Her fucking Sean was fucked up. I'm not saying that wasn't fucked up.
When he told her to leave the club, I think he had some business to handle, and she went.
No, she found
play
out.
With herself
she found
in the back
out.
Of the truck.
She started fucking with. She
That's
started
when
fucking
she
with Sean.
Up.
She started actually fucking Sean after he found. After she found out, Ghost took Angela.
When
to
y'all
my
listening
he,
to
he
this
was
podcast,
playing with Sean.
When y'all listening to this podcast, y'all let us know who did what first. Was Ghost messing with Angela first, or was what's her name, Keisha, messing around with Sean? Like who? What happened first? Y'all got to let us know.
No, Keisha smashed Sean first. Keisha and Sean
she
smashed
did?
First. Yeah.
What's your point?
What you mean, what's my point? I'm talking about Ghost. I'm not talking about nothing with Sean.
No, but the whole
but
reason
why. But she smashed
why.
The driver.
Right.
Yeah, she smashed the driver, but that was
His
only
nephew.
Because of how Ghost is
you
moving.
You smashed the driver. It's
Yo,
over.
We all know women will dig deep to hurt your ass back, man.
But you're telling
we
me that Ghost.
But it wasn't for her.
But you're telling me it's Ghost her. Broke
no,
up the family.
It was because I just want to do something. And he doing him, so I'm going to do me.
You telling me Ghost broke up the family. That's your argument. But now you're telling me that she smashed the driver.
Look, man, hey, for every reaction, there's a reaction, man.
For every action, there's a reaction, man.
Right, so.
So Ghost fucking with Angela. Hold on, I ain't on the mic. Hold up.
So Ghost fucking with Angela, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what's Tasha supposed to do? She got three kids in the crib.
Take care of her kids. Go somewhere and sit down.
Why can't Ghost do that?
He could do that, too.
Listen.
But he was handling business. Angela comes speaking that Spanish to him. And he like, oh, I remember how it felt. And he liked the feeling.
I remember how it felt.
When does Ghost have time to
sit down,
man? That
was like 20 years ago.
But she's always the one that supported him when he wanted to do positive stuff.
She left that nigga for 18 years. How was she always supporting
him? She went to college.
No, her pops moved her ass away. She was gone for like 18 years. How was
she
always supporting
him? She didn't leave him.
She went to college and had a career.
He said it. He said, you never called me for my birthday. I had the same number.
Okay, that's bull crap, okay? That's just what you want to say to, oh, my feelings hurt. Whatever. All that, it doesn't matter.
No, all right. So as you paint the,
matter.
Hold on. As you paint the picture,
Tasha.
Hold on.
He
as you
Tasha
paint
had
the picture.
Three whole kids. She ain't had no kids or a husband. She had a little boyfriend.
As you paint the picture, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you saying everything was just supposed to go back to, so you got to have that initial conversation. It's like, yo, after not seeing you for 18 years, it's like, yo, where the fuck have you been? Like, why didn't you?
Okay, but
my pet peeve is itching. You fucking with me? Shit. So after that initial conversation, yo, why the hell you just up and leave after all that time? I had the same phone number. You ain't call. You knew the number. We used to talk all the time. Why you ain't call me? That's not a conversation that needs to be had at that point. Or that's not something you say to that person.
He's running game.
That's just petty.
He's running
that's
game.
That's petty. No, like, I would want to know, like, why.
Does it matter why you didn't call me when
right.
I turned 20?
It matters.
So does it matter?
If they so in love, yeah, it does matter now because she could fuck it up and leave again.
You didn't call me on my 25th birthday.
Hey, man, you ain't call me. You never
38.
Sent, you never mailed that right. birthday card. All right, and I'm fucking mad at you for that.
Get
shit.
Over it.
Where's my birthday card? Listen, y'all can paint the picture however y'all want. I don't like what the nigga Ghost is doing, man. I understand why he's doing it, but who the hell kills a whole drug scene and keeps conducting business in that same city? That's stupid.
No,
yeah, I thought
them.
That was kind of crazy.
That's stupid.
But
I thought he killed them all and then went legit. That's what he tried to do.
But he stayed in New York
because he thought everybody was dead.
Right?
No, you still don't do that. Somebody knows something. Everybody is not out here just blind.
But that's
somebody
why he's
knows
Ghost.
Something.
He did it. Nobody knew who was killing those people until at the
right.
end. So we didn't know. We did. Oh, Ghost. So if Lobos died, he would have been clean. But Lobos
right.
didn't die.
Supposedly, he would have been clean.
He would have. No, nobody would have known. Tommy didn't even know.
Right.
But Kanan, he thought he killed Kanan. Now Kanan still would have. Now Kanan is the reason why he should leave New York. But he thinks Kanan
is dead. Right.
If like no, so picture this: he kills Kanan and then kills all the drug lords and kills Lobos. He has nothing to worry about in New York.
Somebody always knows something. Fuck that.
That's true.
So somebody always knows something. So the fact that he even had to do that to be clean means to me you need to get the fuck out of there. It's like you can be clean and you can kill all these people and be clean in fucking Arizona too.
But he was trying to go to Miami, right? Didn't he want to go to Miami?
It is clubs in Arizona.
Right. He tried to move. He tried to move.
He tried
to
go to Miami. He tried to go.
Yeah. He actually got three more clubs, but he's still living in New York.
But he tried to go to Miami.
Something happened. I can't remember, but he tried to get to Miami. Oh, Angela had something happen with her case, right?
Angela can't leave, right?
Right. Something, whatever it was.
Mike won't let her leave. Mike won't transfer.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So
he tried.
Messed him up.
He
can't
just up and leave without leaving his boo.
Now
that he really loves.
Right.
That he really loves.
Like, when does Ghost ever have time to sit down and think about what he's doing? Yes, he's making a lot of mistakes, but if he ain't running a nightclub and trying to keep bullets out his back, trying to make Angela happy, trying to make his wife happy, his kids,
he's going to make mistakes. He spread himself way too thin.
It's life, baby. You got to learn somehow.
He spread himself way. He's 30 fucking 8. So,
hey,
yo.
Is he really 38?
I don't know.
We don't know.
I don't know how old that nigga is. I'm looking at him. I gave him between 35 and 38 based on the way he looked. 40? Probably. Shit.
I think he's 40.
In real life, maybe. Oh, my God.
They say ghosts don't age, though. But anyway. I'm honestly, he got to get fucked up. Like he has to take a big L somewhere at some point in this series. He can't keep winning.
He's the star of the show. Right? He's not going to take
he
no L.
He can't keep winning.
I think he is going to take an
L. He got to take a big L somewhere.
But it's not, I don't think it's going to be, either it's going to be his family or it's going to be Angela.
Here's
I don't think
prediction.
It's going to be with him.
You want to know what's my next move that I think is going to happen? I think he's going to realize that he needs Tasha, and that's going to make Angela turn on him, and now Angela's going to be looking for him. I think that's like season 4.
I don't know. Maybe.
So he's going to go back to Tasha.
So basically what you're saying is he should have stayed with Tasha from the beginning.
No. He got to learn your lesson somehow. He tried. I don't hate a man for trying something different. He asked his wife to come on this new journey with him, and she said no.
Right.
You gets left.
Right.
No more talking. You want me to be this drug dealer and risk my life?
But I don't know why she would want to even have that. Because with kids, why would you want to have to worry about that lifestyle?
I told her quit for what? This the only life we know.
Listen.
Y'all understand
thug
life.
If I get shot for you, we got a problem.
Y'all clearly don't understand thug life.
I don't want to be a part of thug life.
So that's how it goes, man. So second half of this conversation is about to take a shift. I want to dedicate this show today to my daughter, who would have been one tomorrow, August 8th, Riley Paris Tucker Minor, my only daughter. A lot of y'all don't know. I don't talk about it often. This is actually me opening up about it at this moment. Very sensitive topic. But my daughter was born with a heart disease called hypoplastic left heart syndrome, abbreviation HLHS. And basically what that means is that the left side of her heart was severely underdeveloped. Yeah, this shit took a real swift left turn, didn't it? Fucked y'all up just now. But, which basically means the left side of her heart was severely underdeveloped. So in order to rectify this imbalance in her heart, there are three heart procedures that need to be performed to basically restructure the heart. And she was 5 months when she passed. She passed from complications due to previous operations. And basically what we want to do right now, right here, is just bring a little more light and attention to what some parents go through and what these kids go through when they have these rough situations. I have Kendra here today, and I don't think her situation was the same as mine, but she also experienced a similar loss. And I asked Kendra here today to speak on her experience and what that was like for her and her son. What was his name?
Grayson.
Grayson. It's a cool name. Hey, wasn't Batman somebody named Grayson?
Grace. No. Somebody name is Grace. I don't know.
Grace? I don't know. I'm sorry.
I don't know.
Anyway, so, Kendra, if you would, please be so kind to go into a little detail as you feel comfortable with the conditions and situations surrounding your son.
Okay. Wait, am I loud enough? So I had a previous pregnancy prior to my son, and it was ectopic. So if people don't know what that is, the baby's not in the right spot.
It's called ectopic?
Ectopic pregnancy. Yeah, okay. The baby's usually in your tubes. Mine was like somewhere else in my uterus. So that pregnancy was ended. After that, me and my son's dad decided we want to try again. And we tried it, I feel like, rather quickly, maybe like a couple months later, mm-hmm. I was pregnant. And, you know, the whole fear of having a ectopic pregnancy took over. But this time it was not the case. It was, you know, everything was going good. Doctor's appointments, everything's healthy. Baby's growing. Mom's fine. You know, just proceeding as usual. And I remember one day I had just went to the doctor's office in December of 2014, and the doctor's like, oh, everything looks good, you're free. I was going on a trip or something like that, I think for Christmas. Mm-hmm. And then that weekend, I noticed that I had like spotting and stuff, and I'm like, okay, I'm not going to trip, but let me go to the doctor just in case, because I know this is not regular.
Right.
Go to the doctor, and I remember being in the emergency room, and the doctor's face is like red. And he looks scared to death, and he's like, we got to ship you to Cooper. And I'm like, what? What's going on? Like, I feel fine. I'm dancing in the bed, and, you know, just regular.
Right.
And he said, I can see your baby's foot. Mm. Now, at this time, I was only 22 weeks pregnant, so that's like 5 months. I still didn't know what I was having. I just knew, okay, now my baby's foot's hanging out. We got to go to Cooper. Mm. I take this ride to Cooper, and I was supposed to have an emergency surgery, which is called a cerclage. And a cerclage basically is to stitch close your uterus so the baby doesn't come out.
It's called a cerclage?
Yeah, cerclage.
That's to stitch close the uterus so the baby doesn't come out. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Or the cervix, actually, the cervix, where the baby's at.
Okay.
So the day I'm preparing for the surgery, you know, they're like, oh, let's wait for your medical record. So we waited another day, and the next day, it was worse. Now, it's like almost his whole leg is out.
Oh, shit.
And I was bedridden. I couldn't get up to use the bathroom. I couldn't do anything. It was just literally like, I have to lay here and hope for the best. Okay. So when I had the surgery, I think I ended up having it later on in the evening. I had an ultrasound before I had the surgery. And the ultrasound, I remember, is when I found out what I was having.
Okay.
So this is the first time I'm finding out everything literally right before surgery. And this is funny, though. I'm thinking, oh, I'm having a girl. It's going to be a little girl. Yes, I could dress her like me. So cute. Excited. Mm-hmm. And the lady pans across, like, the legs where you could see, like, half of this foot is hanging out because it's hanging out, you know, obviously. And you see the other leg. And then I see balls on the screen. And I just cried. Mm-hmm. And the lady was like, I was like, oh, my God, those are balls. And she was
you
like.
You said that?
Yeah,
those are balls.
Out loud.
And she we ain't talking about all this technical medical terms. And she can't say testicles.
No, not at all. Because I was freaked out. Right. And I'm like, okay, so it's a boy. And then my brother had just had a boy. So I'm like, oh, they can play together. That's cool. You know, like, it was like a real moment, and I found it by myself, so I was the only one to know at the time. And I remember I go into surgery. Now, this is where I feel like was the worst part of all of it, besides losing my son. Go into surgery, and I have to get an epidural. But because I'm on bed rest, I couldn't sit up for the epidural. I had to lay down.
You get down your back, right?
Yeah. Okay. Jesus, I don't know why they even...
The long spear?
Yes.
Cowboys and Indians spear?
Yes. So they tried, I think, about 4 or 5 times to give me the epidural, and I remember just crying, hugging my nurse, crying, like, just make him stop. I'll lay down forever if I have to have my son. I can't do this. And the nurse is, like, telling the doctor, like, you know, you need to, like, stop now. Like, it's enough. Because you stabbed me in my back 5 times. Like, it's just too much. Mm-hmm. So they give me general anesthesia, like you would get for any procedure when they put the gas mask on your face, basically.
Uh-huh.
And I'm fighting the anesthesiologist because his hands were huge, and he scared the shit out of me. And he's like, just relax. And I'm like, bro, you trying to kill me. I can smell it. Like, this don't smell safe, yeah. You know.
And this is all happening all at the same, like.
Yeah.
This sounds like a lot of happening.
Oh, it happened crazy. Pretty crazy.
Like, women go through a lot, man.
Yeah. Like, really crazy. And so then I finally let him give me the anesthesia. I wake up in the room, and I'm looking at my son's dad. My mom's there also. And I'm just like, oh my God, like what happened? They're like, oh, the surgery went good. You know, the nurses that were in there were telling me everything's fine. Your son is doing good. And I feel him kicking me, you know, like kicking me all crazy. And I'm like, okay, awesome. So then I tell they, well, they said,
so
the baby,
at this point now they stitched your uterus.
Yeah.
Up. Okay.
Yeah. So at this point, everything's, you know, going in the right direction. Now this happened, the surgery happened on December 22nd.
Damn it.
Oh Lord.
I'm sorry.
And December 22nd. So I was in the hospital still. They monitored me for, about another day. And I was like, I need to go home for Christmas. I don't want to be here for Christmas. Right. So I got discharged the 23rd and I'm on bed rest. Everything's going fine. Christmas Eve, I remember having these killer cramps and I'm like, what is going on? This is crazy. And they told me cramping would happen. So I'm like, oh, this is not what they said, but Jesus, you know, this
so
is going
cramping
on.
Cramping is a result of the surgery
that
you had.
Okay. Yeah. So then Christmas, I'm still, you know, having the same issues. I call the doctor, and they, did I go to the doctor? No, I called the doctor and they said they can call in a medication for me, the next day for pain or something, you know, everything like that. But I have severe medicine allergies. They called in a medication that I was allergic to. So I took it. I remember the morning of the 26th, I took this medication and now my throat's closing. Like I'm having a full allergic reaction. And then this is like embarrassing, but I stood up to go to the bathroom and I just felt water running down my leg. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, babe, I think I peed on myself. And he looking at me like, what you mean? You peed on yourself? I said, something's wrong. Like, I feel like I peed on myself. So I go to the bathroom, not thinking nothing of it. Still like having an allergic reaction, get the Benadryl, you know, use the bathroom, go back out. This happens about 4 more times with me standing up. And then I'm having these cramps in the water gushing. And I called the hospital and I said, I think my water's breaking. I think something's happening because it's not urine. Like, I feel like I'm peeing on myself and it's not happening. So I go to the hospital and I was in active labor. Now, to be in active labor with a cerclage is downright dangerous because you are stitched closed. So the baby will not be able to come out. It will rip you. You will bleed to death. Like, shit, it's just, wow. You know, it's a lot with it.
Jesus.
So, now I'm 23 weeks. I had my son at the hospital in Princeton, what is it, University Medical of Princeton or whatever.
On
yeah, all the way up Route 1.
Yeah.
And they were not at the time, I think they have it now, they were not equipped to handle premature babies. So, yeah, if my child was 1 week earlier, later they could have done almost anything.
So what the fuck? They was like still building it or something? Like,
no,
why
I don't
they
know.
Have...
They didn't. I guess they didn't have a physician for it because when I that's why they so even shipped me to Cooper. And I didn't think at the time, you know, in my thinking to go to Cooper to have the baby, I'm just like, get me somewhere because my water's breaking. I'm in labor.
But you didn't think it was anything more serious than going into labor.
No, not right. even. So I get there and then they were planning to move me to Cooper, but literally the baby's coming down. I'm like, they had to cut the cerclage and I'm about 4 or 5 centimeters dilated now.
Jesus.
So baby's coming, you know, like everything's happening really fast. At 3:30 in the morning, now I'm pushing. Mm-hmm. So I'm pushing out my son and he's born I think it's 3:48. It didn't take long to push it off.
Did they like cut the stitchings?
Yeah, they cut the stitching when they realized I was like in heavy labor, like literally the baby's coming any minute now. So after I have him, then the nurse and the doctor are crying.
Okay.
And I'm confused because I'm like, well, he's here, he's on my chest, and before they you know got him all the way out, they asked me, do you want to hold him? And I'm like, what do you mean? Do I want to hold him? My baby
is
here.
That was like a red flag.
Right. Like, and I'm like, what are you talking about? So they put him on my chest and he's like, you know, moving around, not crying or anything, but I'm not, my mind isn't there. You know, like I'm somewhere else.
You just gave birth. You're on a completely different place. You're not thinking about that shit.
So holding him and the nurses are teary eyed looking at me. And the doctor comes to me and she says, Kendra, there's nothing we can do for him. And I said, what do you mean? His lungs are underdeveloped, so therefore, you know, he's a premature baby. Mm-hmm. So therefore, we can't, like, resuscitate him if something happens. We can't give him any machines, no medicine, steroids. They couldn't do anything because the word I hate the most, he's not viable.
That's what they said?
Whoa, yeah.
He's not.
They actually said that word?
They used that word, viable. So wow. What that means is basically how I took it, my baby's not worth,
right.
His life is not worth you trying to save him. Because he's breathing on his own now, but it's only so much air. You know, it's only so much his little body right. can do. So, you know, after hearing that, I just remember holding him, and I let my son's dad hold him. And at around 7 o'clock, he took his last breath, 7 a.m., so it was like, now we're holding a baby who isn't here. You know, yeah. Like, it's like, it was, thinking about it, then I'm happy that I was not in the moment because I would have flipped out. Right. You know, like, I was really kind of like, oh, my God, I had a baby. Like, I never thought I would have a baby. Oh, my God. Like, you know, like, I was in that mind frame but not thinking of, you're not leaving with your baby, Kendra.
Right.
Your baby's never coming home.
It was too many.
Yeah.
Like, that was a lot of experiences at once.
At one time. Yeah. Yeah, it was too much at one time.
Right,
and then
right.
he was born on December 27th. So all this happened within a couple of days. Like, literally had the surgery, water breaking, give birth. And it was like, it was just all kind of, you know, a hard experience.
At what point did you know that you were having you had an ectopic pregnancy?
Well, the first one, the ectopic pregnancy was the first pregnancy I had before
that was
this.
The first one, okay.
And that I found out late, actually, like 8 weeks, and they thought I was going to lose a fallopian tube, actually. But it wasn't, thank God the baby wasn't in the fallopian tube. Uh-huh. So it's just kind of like.
So did they mention anything about the first pregnancy having any kind of effect on the second?
No, because I asked. Okay. And they told me, you know, now I know going forward, I would have to have a cerclage done anyway. Mm-hmm. But it would just, it's okay, so I had mine done like 22 weeks or so, like 21, 22 weeks. You're supposed to get that done at about 10, 12 weeks.
Jeez. So you were like 12 weeks late.
Right, and it was just so much more of a risk with it. And then finding out later.
Why so late?
Because I didn't know.
Did the doctors know?
No, but you know, when you go to the doctor, they don't check you. They don't open the cervix or do anything because they don't want to introduce infection or
okay.
bacteria or anything like that. So they don't necessarily check you.
So at what point is an ectopic pregnancy discovered? Like, how do they
know? Well, ectopic pregnancy is different because they use an ultrasound or if your numbers don't double. But what I had was just a regular pregnancy, what is considered to be like a weak cervix, basically, for me. Mm-hmm. So that is, that's what happens for me. That's what happened to me. It's just not necessarily like something they could diagnose. It would have to be, I feel like this would have had to happen for my doctors to know going forward. We have to give her a cerclage in order for her to actually have a baby.
And it's basically like a stepping stone for your pregnancy going forward, right?
Yeah, and it's a hard stepping like stone, but you know.
Yeah, so how was that like emotionally for you and your boyfriend at the time and everything like that?
Emotionally, I know at second day coming home, like I was as angry as a lion, a gorilla, like anything he said to me, I was just like, I'm gonna punch you in your face. Like, just leave me alone because I'm going to knock your teeth out. And it literally, I remember one day he said, like, I felt like realistically he was a little selfish with it because I get it. You have a loss too. But my body went through this, you know, like I was just like, you know, I went through a greater loss and a greater thing because I could have died myself on the operating table. I didn't know that until later. Yeah. But it was just more so like, I didn't really want him around, and then that turned into now I need you around. I need someone to talk to because my mom was just like, "I'm sorry, baby, but I've never been through this, so I don't know how to help you."
Yeah.
Right. And actually, I did therapy for a while, and I wanted him to go too.
Did that
but,
help?
Oh, therapy was the best thing I could have done, and I did it while I was still on maternity leave from work. So it was just like I had those months to gather myself, collect myself, and to really think about what happened, mm-hmm. how, you know, I thank God every day for this because I never blamed myself. I just figured this happened for a reason and I had to accept it and move forward, You know, like, I never have a problem with talking about my situation because I feel like after that happened to me, I met so many women who had similar stories or even, you know, even with you and your story. And I feel like it's just, I don't mind speaking about it because I know it's a hurtful, painful thing. Mm-hmm. But there's also a reason there's things you learn from it. There's people you meet. There's awareness you can, you know, shed light on for the situations as well.
True. True, man. Yo, that's a lot, yo.
Yeah.
So it's basically a birth and a death at the same time. And you had
right.
no idea that the condition could turn that, like, fatal. Like
right.
That.
Listen, right.
right?
That whole story got me thinking about my situation.
Yeah.
You know, we lost a son. His name is Jeremiah Lee Minor to trisomy 18. You don't know how to feel about it as a man. I'm not mm-hmm. going to go too deep into it because women deal with so much more than what men go through. And I just remember looking at the ultrasound. I went with my girl to, you know, see the ultrasound, and I'm looking and I can't really tell because I you know, it's an ultrasound. I don't know what I'm looking at.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
You just look, oh shit, where's the baby? Like, hey,
so
Willy Nilly and shit.
The doctor leaves. She's probably a nurse, and she goes and gets the head doctor. And, you know, he sees, like, a hole in the brain, a half-developed heart. The lip kind of wasn't, like, developed the entire way. And he basically told us that our son, well, they told us it was a girl.
Mm-hmm.
That's the crazy part. They told us that our daughter had trisomy 18 and that the child more than likely will die before birth or within a year.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to make a decision that soon because, like you were talking about, they didn't detect none of this
right.
when we could have had other options earlier.
Mm-hmm. Right. So they basically cut your options
in half
at the
point
that they
told you.
Right.
Because
yeah.
if you don't make a decision right now, you'll basically probably have to carry a dead baby
right.
inside
a dead
you until
right. it decides.
Birth.
Yeah.
We like it's and like I say, as a man, like I just don't feel comfortable talking about it. Like I say, I would rather the mother do it because that's just something that y'all got to go through. But at the same time, when we was there and she had to give birth, like I said, we bonded with our child. Like we named it Journey.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be Journey Lee Minor. So you know when she gave birth,
we found out it was a boy. Yeah, changed the name on the spot.
When she gave birth, he was already gone.
Oh, okay.
So you know and. We just like, okay, Journey. But when they finally brought him back in, cleaned him off, he had a blue hat on. We said, what is a boy?
Right.
We got to come up with a name. And so we named him Jeremiah. And, you know, like I say, like when it comes to women in those situations, I think we were just both trying to be strong for each other.
Right.
So I wasn't showing weakness, even though I felt bad because I have three children living and mm-hmm. I take care of them. I protect them. Mm-hmm. So to know that you couldn't protect him,
right.
Jeremiah, is like, what did...
What
but
happened?
You also know
yeah.
it's nothing you could do.
Right. But you can't help but ask yourself those questions
right.
in that moment.
The part that got me was when you go to the funeral home and the director is talking about, well, we got to go pick up the body.
Yeah.
It's just like the body. Really?
Right.
That's
yeah.
my son. What
right.
you mean a body? It's like it don't hit you till somebody say something to you and you don't
right.
really. But that's the language
that they,
right.
use.
They use.
Right.
So I'm asking questions. Well, where's... How long, like, what's going on? Like, are they taking care of him while he's there? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I just want to know, even though he's not here, he's here.
Right.
Are they taking care of him? So they had to explain to me where he was and how his body was being treated while we waited to move the body from here to there. I was making sure that when they cremated him, make sure every speck of ash get
it's
inside
in
the urn.
Right.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Don't, like, I need it all in it. How will you make sure every bit of him is inside this
right.
urn?
Mm-hmm.
Like I say, like maybe I'll speak more on it when his birthday comes around. I didn't want to, but just listening to you, it's like, it's a similar story, and I felt it, but at the same time, we both were being strong for each other. They offered us therapy. We didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
They offered it to us. I think they offered it to us, but yeah, man. It's just a tough situation.
Yeah, it is. And I think, but everybody's different. And I know my son's dad opted not to do therapy. And I think for me personally, being that that was my only child, I resented him for that because he has other children. Like how you say you have other children, he has other kids too. And I remember an argument like before we decided to part ways. And I told him, you will never know what it feels like because you have other kids to hug. Right. You know, and it, I know it you was wrong of me for saying that, but I wanted him to understand the
weight of it.
Yeah, like it was just like you know, you can go see your other babies, you can go hug and kiss them, and
that
I
would make
have,
him appreciate his other kids more.
Right, and I'm like, I have my son is in a, like he was cremated as well. Like I have my son in an urn. I have jewelry that is, you know, symbolic for him, but it's never going to be him.
Right.
Yeah. So it's just like. You know, I think therapy helped a lot with that, though. Even if, you know, later on, and I still do support groups now where I can talk to other women who are going through what I went through at this moment. You know, so it's just like it helps me, I think, help other people.
Yeah.
Too.
Well, my situation, man, it was, you know, this was absolutely the craziest, most emotional months like in my entire life. My daughter was diagnosed with hypoplastic left heart syndrome when she was still, my girl was still pregnant. She was still in the womb. I want to say she was about 4 or 5 months, probably earlier than that because I don't know if we knew the sex yet, but she was about 4 or 5 months when they noticed, and we were at that same hospital. I can't remember the name. On Route 1?
It's Princeton Medical.
Princeton Plainsboro, something like that.
Yeah.
We were at that hospital, and, you know, we was just going in for a regular ultrasound, mm-hmm. and... I hate ultrasounds because they take too long, man. I just want to know what I need to know so I can get out of there. Like, waiting to see if something's going on or not. It's kind of stressful on the low. So we sitting there, but at this point, I had no idea. You know what I'm saying? I'm thinking everything is normal. I'm just waiting for them to tell me what's up, everything's cool, so we can get the hell out of there. So he took a while, and then he came back with somebody else. I think it was a lady, or she might have came back with another doctor. And he basically told us right there, he was like, you know, been noticing something going on with the baby's heart. Now, what you mean was going on? So he told us it's called hypoplastic left heart syndrome. And what that means is that the left side of her heart is severely underdeveloped. And that's the side of your heart that pumps blood throughout the rest of your body. So he took us into an office, and we spoke to somebody else. And at that point, they told us we would have all our appointments at the CHOP hospital in Philly. So for months, we were going to back and forth at CHOP, you know, with the procedures and getting checked up, getting her checked up and everything like that. So fast forward to, she was supposed to be born August 17th was the projected date, but she was born on August 8th. And after she was born, the first surgery took place like 4 days later.
Oh, wow.
So she was 4 days old. She had her first open heart surgery. It was the craziest thing ever. When she was born, like things go fast. Like you said, your kid was born, and then at the same time, you mm-hmm. know what I'm saying, you got hit with another huge emotion. But it was different in my situation because I got like to look at her breathe on her own. Like I still have pictures of those first couple of days because those are the pictures. The only pictures I have of her without a scar on her chest. Wow. So she doesn't have a scar on some of those pictures. And after that, it took her like a good while to come home. We were constantly being told we would bring her home on this day. And then we get ready to bring her home on that day. And then we get told, she hasn't gained the weight that we wanted her to gain, so we want to keep her here until she gains that weight. Then we get another date. Then that gets pushed back again. That shit was super frustrating. It was extremely frustrating. And it was, as a man, it's even, like, I can handle my emotions pretty well. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? For the most part, I don't like for people to see me, like, emotionally disturbed.
Right.
Like, it's just something, like, I'll hold that cry in until, like, an hour drive if I can. I just don't want you to see me like that. But to see my girl go through it, you know what I'm saying? And looking back on it, that was the hardest part. Because even now, you know what I'm saying? It's times where she'll hit me up and she'll be like, I'm thinking about Riley. And, you know, or I'll be over there and we'll be chilling. And something will come on TV, like a random commercial. It's like, you know how it is. Have you checked your baby's heart today? It's like, what the fuck? You know what I'm saying? Like, why would this come on right now? So we're dealing with that. And when we finally did get her home, it was great. Like, we finally got to have her home after all this time. But then as she was home, you know, she would get sick. I remember specifically one day, my girl works overnight, like long, crazy hours overnight. So I had Riley, you know what I'm saying, for these couple days. And she wouldn't eat. She wouldn't eat all her food. She would eat it, and then a little while later, she would throw it up. And then she'd be crying because she was hungry. Then I go to feed her again, and she'd throw it up. So we're constantly on the phone with the doctors. And after that situation, we had to take her back to the hospital. Then she'd be in the hospital for another month. Then they release her. Then everything's cool for a couple weeks. Next thing you know, she's back in the hospital again. She was in the hospital on Thanksgiving. She was in the hospital on Christmas. Like, she was in the hospital. She was here for 5 months, and she was in the hospital more than she was home. I appreciate the time that I had looking back on it because, like, I have to.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? She was 5 months when she passed on February 1st earlier this year, and it was the craziest day ever. You know what I'm saying? Like, my girl, I was getting ready to go to work, actually, and my girl called me. She said she wanted to go see the baby in the hospital, you know what I'm saying, before she got started with her day. So I'm like, all right, cool, call me when you get there. So she get there, and she called me. She said, I need you to come up here right now. I said, everything all right? Nice. I don't even think I said that. I think I said okay. Mm-hmm. I think I just said okay, and I hopped in the car. I called my mom, and I told her what was going on. So my mom was like, I'm going with you. So on the way on the highway, I scooped my mom up. We drive it down to Philly, and I had this weird feeling. I'm just like, yo, something don't feel right. I don't know what it was or what it was. Something just don't feel right. So I get there. My girl and her mom are already there. And, like, she just ran to me. Like, she ran straight into my chest and gave me a hug. The first thing she said was, they don't think she's going to make it past today.
Wow.
So, she's, like, crying in my chest. Her mom is crying, and my mom starts tearing up. I still don't really know what's going on. I'm trying to figure out, why isn't she going to make it past today? So, I walked back to the room where her bed was. And was doctors surrounding all over her bed. She was already, like, sleeping or in an unconscious state when I got there. And they put us in a consultation room. Basically, a few days before that, she had a procedure done, and she had a pacemaker put in her stomach. And I remember the last time I saw her was on – she passed on February 1st. The last day I saw her was January 30th. And she was really uncomfortable in her hospital bed. When she saw me, she was whining. And she had gas, and I think from she had a procedure, and she had, like, multiple catheters done, and she had the procedure where she had the pacemaker, and she was just, like, really uncomfortable. So I was, like, patting her, you know, patting her on her hair, stroking her hair and anything like that to get her to get comfortable, go to sleep. She would fall asleep for a few minutes, and then she'd jump up out of her sleep like she just got scared or something. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? She would just jump up, and then she'd go back to whining. And I remember I took a picture of her sleeping, and I still look at it. And she was asleep, actually. I took a picture of her sleep because I never left until she fell asleep. I never wanted to leave the hospital with her awake. It was just weird. So I always waited until she fell asleep until I left. And I took a picture of her, and she just was giving me this look. And as I look back on it today, she's just like, I don't know, Pops. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the face she kind of gave me. She's like, I don't know, man. So she fell asleep. But she ended up passing gas, and she was basically constipated from the pacemaker. And then when she ended up passing gas, she ended up falling asleep. So 2 days later, that's when I got the call. Go to the hospital. They sit us in a consultation room, and they tell us basically she basically didn't have enough time. So they had a machine that could have kept her heart pumping, but they said that machine was only good for about 3 days, and then the same situation would have went back. And the only option outside of that was a heart transplant, and it takes a long time to get a donor heart.
Right.
You just can't walk to the store and buy that shit. So basically, we were all out of options. You know, we could have opted to give her the machine to keep her heart pumping, but for a few days, that sounded more like torture than actually, like, trying to save her life. And at that moment, as we're having the conversation, I believe one of the nurses came in. It was like, if you want to go be by her bedside right now, I think you should do that because it's not looking like it's going to be too much longer.
Wow.
And we walked to the bedside, and she was asleep. I couldn't tell if she was already gone or not, but my girl picked it up. You know, she was holding her, and she was crying. And then I held her, And as I'm holding her, the nurse came and checked the heartbeat, and, you know, they pronounced the time of death at 4 p.m. on that day. I fucking lost it, though. Like, I just stepped off, you know what I'm saying? And I went back into that consultation room, and I just, like, fell on the couch and shit and just started going crazy. But it was crazy because to know, like, for your kid, for your first kid ever to pass away for some shit that you never even heard of, mm-hmm. Had no idea, no inkling that this kind of shit even exists.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It was crazy. It was extremely crazy. And we got so much love, like, for the process of her. Well, first of all, like, it hurt me a lot, and it still does. But at the same time, when they first told us about her condition, the first thing in my mind that I thought was, damn, she could die from this. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was mm-hmm. the very, very first thing I thought. I didn't think it would actually fucking happen. But it happened, you know what I'm saying? And the hardest part it has been dealing with those emotions, because I didn't even know I was acting out in certain ways. I didn't even really know it until I sat down and thought about it. Now, I was just out here, like, just doing shit with no explanation or reason. And then I found myself, like, when I had my alone moments, like, that would be the only thing I would be thinking about. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? I'd be thinking about my daughter. And it was just a crazy time. Me and my brother actually got into a fist fight around that fucking time. Shout out my brother Donovan. He just fucked with me on the wrong day, basically. I had to light his ass up. Shout out my brother Donovan. But it was rough to deal with, and it's still rough to deal with. Being that her first birthday is tomorrow, which is why I wanted to make this the conversation for the podcast today and bring awareness to people who might find themselves in a situation already or don't know anything about this kind of stuff. We just sat here and told you three separate stories about us losing our kids, and not enough people know about it. Maybe the more people that know about it, the more research money that can go towards finding out what causes these situations to happen. The sooner we find the problem, the sooner we can find a solution for it. And it's not hard, man. I mean, it's not easy, because not only do you deal with not having your kid there, you deal with a serious emotional toll. Like, you can't imagine the kind of pulling and tugging it does to you on a daily basis. You basically got to suck the shit up and accept the fact that your kid's no longer here and you still got to go to fucking work tomorrow. Like,
right.
You know what I'm saying?
It's unrealistic. Like, that's my example of it. It's like, it happens. Like, I'm not used to this.
Right.
Yeah.
This is not something that I'm familiar with, and I don't know how to really express it. Like, and I'm not somebody, like, just like Fresco said, you're not going to see me down. Like, like, life goes on. I'm not talking about our children. I'm talking about no matter what it is, no matter what's going on, looking at, okay, what can I do better? I'm going to do this better tomorrow, and I'm going to make these changes. So that's just always going to be my mentality. And I really didn't go too deep into my situation because I wasn't going to talk about it. But the way Kendra was breaking it down, I was like, yo, a lot of that stuff just sounds so familiar to me. And I might just do an injustice by not speaking a little bit of my piece. But women, y'all go through a lot, man. And at the same time, and if you are a man and your wife, your girl, or even, you know, the women that you got pregnant is going through a situation like this, it's just time for us. You just got to buckle down and just be all ears and just be ready to listen. You know, you can't really have your own emotions about that.
I mean, you really can. You can, but it's more of the support. You need the support.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's got to be equal. You know what I'm saying?
Not equal, but
both sides need that emotional support. I might not need it as often as you do. Maybe I can hold my tongue a few days longer.
Right.
But I still need that. You know what I'm saying? So you might need it on a daily basis. I might need it every fucking Sunday. Maybe Sundays is just the days where I feel down the most.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's just the time when I need, like, okay, like, I cater to you Monday through Saturday. I'm feeling the way today, goddammit.
And
it's exhausting too at the same time, because that's a whole play on it, because you're dealing with these emotions and you have your emotions too, but you got to remember you're not the only one dealing with this shit, especially me being with my girl. And like Jarrell said earlier, you got women go through a lot more. You know what I'm saying? Like, she carried that baby. She was bonded with that baby at the moment that we found out. And she found out before me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
They stick all types of needles in y'all.
Yeah. And you know what I'm saying?
Drug y'all up. We just sitting there like,
you okay?
All
right. You want some juice? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
It's ain't shit I can do, but actually just be there. You know what I'm saying? And but at the same time, the shoes on the, goes on the other foot, and it applies the same as well. Like, you know what I'm saying, men need they woman to be there in that crazy ass time.
Yeah, I'm not saying that I handle it the right way, because there were times where she would ask me, "Hey, are you okay?" And I'm just like, "I'm fine. How are you?" It's like I didn't think about myself at all.
At all. Yeah.
So I'm not saying that I didn't need it. I just didn't know that I did.
Right. Because you can't handle. Like, it's like a shock. Yeah. You go through a shock at first, so it's just kind of you go through the different stages of it, and right. I think. It's awesome that you guys are, you know, able to support your women and know that, okay, we did have this heartbreak, but we're going to keep pushing forward. And I got your back, and I'm pretty sure they have your back as well. So it's just like, I think that's an awesome dynamic.
I think that, with people who find themselves in situations, you might find yourself, you know what I'm saying, thinking about your own emotions to start, because it's hard to, when you're going through some shit like that, it's hard to look past yourself. You know what I'm saying? It really is. But shout out to the people who are really holding their partner down with the emotional support, because men act macho and tough and all that shit. But man, look, fuck all that. Let me cry in your lap, girl. I need that.
So can I ask you a question?
What's up? Jared?
What are you going to do for her birthday? Do you guys have something planned?
Yes. Tomorrow's her birthday, and she was born at 7:53 p.m. And it's funny. Actually, while she was in labor, my mom was there, her mom was there, and her best friend and her cousin. We were all guessing what time she was going to be born. I think 7. Or I think 12. Or you know what I'm saying? I said 8. I guess like 8:15 or something like that. I think I got the closest. But she was born at 7:53, and tomorrow at her mom's house, my girl mom's house, we're going to have a dinner for the family and friends, and we're going to do a balloon release at the minute in which she was born.
Oh, that's awesome. That's what I did for my son, actually, the first birthday. Yeah. We had dinner. We had a balloon release, and it was pretty – it was, like, really good. It was really good. It was exciting to have everybody involved.
I'm sensitive as hell to the shit because
– Yeah.
It's like fresh. When people, it's fresh, and then when people, I hear other people talk about it. Even my mom sometimes, and my brothers, like, I'll be scrolling on Facebook, and a picture of my daughter pops up that they posted. I'm like, man, that's my daughter. Like, I don't want you to be posting this. I wasn't ready to see that at this moment. Right. I wasn't trying to scroll down and get hit with this emotional roadblock just now. No, that's my daughter. You know what I'm saying?
But everybody loved her.
I gotta remind myself sometimes that, you know what I'm saying, she had an impact on everybody, and not just my family or my girl's family, but people won't even know who can just relate out of being a parent. You know what I'm saying? They really took a certain liking to the situation because she was a pretty girl, man. She was a beautiful baby. She had this high pitched voice and she would sing. Like, I would record her all the time. It was like baby opera or something like that. You know what I'm saying? And it was just like, what is she doing? Like, you know what I'm saying? She was just a really pretty cute kid. Even in the hospital, the nurses would tell us all the time. I remember going one time, and she's sitting at the nurse station with the nurses. All the rest of the babies in bed. I'm like, what the hell? She getting strolled around, and she just chilling. You know what I'm saying? She never really – she didn't cry a lot. She was very observant. If you walk past her, she would follow you.
She's going to see what you're doing.
She's like, what is going on here? You know what I'm saying? She was a really sweet kid. And I got to remember that, like I said, like, yes, she was my daughter. Yes, she was my girl's daughter, but – she was my brother's niece. She was my mom's grandchild. She was her mom's grandchild. So, and just other people can relate off the perspective of being a parent and not being able to fathom going through some shit like that.
Right.
So that's something that I got to deal with myself. But even tomorrow, I get nervous thinking about the different energies that's going to be, you know what I'm saying, in the same room. Because everybody might not be happy, you know what I'm saying, still. Like, everybody might not view it as innocent as it was, you know what I'm saying, anything like that. So
you just have to ask for the respect. I think that's what I noticed. What I had to realize with my family, I'm like, okay, y'all not going to mess this up. And they know when I turn into the crazy mom, I'm like, y'all not going to mess this up for my baby.
That finger point right there. Look.
We going to do this at this time. This is what we going to do. I don't want to hear no crap.
Right.
Going to get out there, and y'all better be happy about it, and that's it. And, like, this, that's literally who I became. Like, it was just – it. Listen, my family was like, oh, that girl went nuts. Like, it's just certain things. Like,
sometimes you gotta go
it
nuts.
Has to be a certain way, and I don't want to hear no one's mouth. I don't want to hear no lip.
Yeah.
Y'all happy. I'm happy. Don't you cry. We good. Like, you know, so it's like, you gotta kind of put that.
You gotta put it out down. There. Yeah, basically.
Yeah, like, y'all better come here smiling.
Yeah, man. It's difficult to deal with, but I always try to look at life on the lighter side of things. I don't really mm-hmm. like to dwell on the bad shit.
Right.
I acknowledge the bad stuff, but at the same time, like, staying there in that space is not going to help me as I try to continue to, you know what I'm saying, just live life regularly, you know. So for a long time, I try not to think about it. Like, I would just sit it there, you know what I'm saying, and occasionally I'd be scrolling through pictures of her on my phone, and then I'll revisit it that way. But and then I decipher what emotions was what, or
right.
how I should carry myself when I walk out the door after I had this moment. Sometimes I'd be driving to work, pull over on the highway, and just, you know,
you
have
cry.
My moment,
yeah.
and cry, and then I'd be like,
out.
All right. And
you're
then
good
it's,
now.
It's back to business. Right.
Right. Yeah.
So I think that, and that was my way of dealing with it. Like, even sometimes me and my girl, we talk about it, but we don't really go deep. You know, the other day, I was in the crib chilling. And before I went to bed, like, we got her cremated as well. And my girl, she had a nice, like, shelf set up. With, like, it's like a Riley shrine, I call it. And she got pictures of Riley and pictures of us. And her urn is in the center. And sometimes, and the other day, I picked it up. And I was just sitting on the floor with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I was just thinking. Especially with her birthday being tomorrow. Like, you know, it's been on my mind a lot more. And I just sat there. I just sat there for, like, a good 15 minutes. Just holding it, and she came out of the room, and she sat on the floor with me, and we was just, you know, she asked me if I was all right, and I was like, yeah, I'm cool. I just, you know, I'm just thinking about my daughter right now.
Right.
And we sat there. We didn't even say anything to each other, really. We just sat there for, like, 15 minutes, and I was like, all right, I'm ready to go to bed. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that was it. But that was good enough for me. Like, it was nothing needed to be said, because you know what I'm thinking.
Right. You just need that moment.
Yeah. I just needed to sit there and hold my daughter's urn. When I walk past it every day, I kiss my fingers and I put my hand on it, you know?
Yeah.
And I stop and I look at her picture. And, you know, it's a day-by-day thing, man. You know what I'm saying? And I don't think it'll ever be, like, 100% like, all right, I'm over it.
Yeah,
you
no,
know what
never.
I'm saying? It'll never be like, I'm over it. But for how I feel right now and where things are going right now, I'm able to deal with it.
Right.
But I'm not over it, because it's like, ugh.
Right.
Can't really, ugh, you know?
You can't be over it.
Nah.
It gets easier to deal with. I think I'm the farthest out with mine, because it's almost 2 years. So I'm in a different headspace than
right.
I was last year.
Right.
And then a different headspace than I was when it actually happened. So it's just, you know, you grow.
Absolutely, man. And, you know. Man, what the hell was I about to say? Quiet, bro. You all right?
Don't blame me, because I ain't cut you off.
You quiet. You all right, man?
I'm listening to y'all.
I know we got deep for a second, but it's still the podcast, brothers, man. You know, we just want to shed some light on these situations that's taking our babies, man. You know, my daughter would have been 1 year old tomorrow. She'd have been one. I think about it all the time. She would have been crawling at this point.
Nah, she would have been walking.
Or walk, you know, crawling, walking, saying, mama, dada. You know,
girls develop so quick, like, they faster than boys. She would have been walking. She would have had, like, 5 words.
And I'd be mad sensitive. Like, I'd be riding down the street, and I see a dad. Like, just, I could be listening to, like, DMX or some shit, like, just in my own world. And then I look on the sidewalk, and it's a dad pushing a stroller. And it's like, God damn it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You just messed up my whole damn day
right,
just now,
right.
bro. Get that
yeah.
stroller out of here.
Right.
Yeah, you know, but. Like, I actually get jealous of that guy in that moment. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
And that's why now it's super, like, it's on my mind. It's always been a thing with me, but, like, fathers not taking care of their kids. Like,
it's a problem.
I can't handle that shit. You know
right.
what I'm saying? Like, I didn't know my pops. My pops denied me to his grave, and he passed away in 2009. So then I get a chance to be a pops, and then, you know what I'm saying, she
yeah.
passes away. It's like, what the fuck? You got kids, and you're not taking care of them?
Right.
Like, you ain't shit. You know what I'm saying? So... It's an important thing, man. It's an important... I don't know why somebody wouldn't want to be a part of their lives. Based off the experiences I had with my daughter and her mom and my girl for those 5 months, like, that shit was... It was fun, aside from the hospital visits.
I'll be honest with you. That's a whole nother topic. We can have a whole nother episode.
Yeah, it is a whole nother topic, man.
On that. Like, I know why. Like, I definitely look at situations from both sides. If it's three sides, I can see it. So that's like a whole nother hour and a half show. We could definitely
maybe
talk
three.
On that.
Shit.
Yeah, like a part two and a three.
Yeah, real shit on that. Though. But if you got kids, man, father your kids, man. And if you find yourself in a situation, it won't have to be as drastic as the situations that we just went through and described. It can be just solely a situation between your man and your girl. and just on some emotional shit, man. Sometimes you have to put your emotions aside and deal with the person's emotions. You know what I'm saying? Your other person's emotions, because people hurt in different ways. And even though we're dealing with the same thing, it might not bother you today. It might not bother you today, but it's fucking with me today. And just because you aren't bothered don't mean I don't need you to be there to back me up and just be there. Because it's really nothing you can do. You know what
right.
I'm saying?
Like, right.
It's really nothing you can do but just be there. You know what I'm saying? And that's where the support part comes in. And that's equally important. That's probably more important than anything else to help you through whatever situation it is that y'all dealing with, man.
And if you enjoyed this show, leave us a rating on iTunes.
iTunes.
5 stars and tell us why you liked it. We need that. SoundCloud. Write us a message on SoundCloud. I think that's the only one. Like I said, Google Play doesn't really give you those options yet. Did we get everything off our chest we wanted to get off?
I think so. Yo, reminder for y'all, Trenton area. Remember, last week, my boy Aunt Robe told y'all they doing a book bag drive at Gulffield Park August 20th. I think he said it starts at like 1 or 2 o'clock or something like that.
Yep.
Or 10 or 2 or something like yeah. that. Yo, if you in the Trenton area, if you want to give a book bag for one of the kids going to school, meet Anthony Robe at Gulffield Park, Trenton, New Jersey. And that's Gulffield Avenue, Gulffield Park, Trenton, New Jersey. Drop off some book bags for the kids. Any closing remarks you want to make?
Nah, I'm good, man. Just follow us on iTunes. Follow us. Follow me on Twitter, HandsomeBeast83. I don't know what Fresco Twitter handle is.
Fresco Ben Famous. B-I-N Famous.
Yeah. Follow us on Twitter. Podcast Brothers on Twitter.
Yep. He don't know nothing. Let me say it.
Go ahead.
The Podcast Brothers on Twitter. Follow my Twitter, Fresco Ben Famous.
Is it The or is it Podcast Brothers? I think it's Podcast.
It's Podcast Brothers.
You said The. So follow Podcast Brothers on Twitter. Don't write The. If they write The, they're not going to find us.
All right. I didn't say nothing. Okay. I didn't say anything.
All right.
You got any closing remarks you want to say, Kane? You want to give a shout out to anybody? Closing farewells on your baby boy? What's up?
That was nuts. I'm on the spot now.
Yep.
I mean, it was fun. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming, man.
Thanks for sharing your story, man. We need more stories like that to be heard so people can be aware of these things. Because I didn't know that could happen. You know what I'm saying? I didn't know, especially like the whole foot. Like, that's crazy.
Right.
It's absolutely crazy.
Yeah. But that was it. Thanks for having me. My baby. Love you, Grayson. That's
awesome. Closing remarks for me. I don't have a dig a hole this week, second week in a row. I don't want to bury nobody this week. You know, I just want to give a shout out to my daughter's mom, my girl. You know what I'm saying? Her birthday is tomorrow. My daughter's birthday is tomorrow, August 8th. And I just want to give a shout out to my pretty baby in the skies, man. I think about you every day. I wear this necklace with some of your ashes in it every day in remembrance of you. And also, I got Foxy, your favorite toy. I put her on the rearview mirror in my car. So she rides with me every day. So it's like you there. I love you. This has been episode 9 of the Podcast Brothers. Once again, follow us on Twitter, the Podcast Brothers. Me on Twitter, Fresco Ben Famous. Flaw on Twitter, HandsomeBeast83. Follow our Facebook page. It's still my brother, me, or the Podcast
Brothers? The Podcast Brothers.
The Podcast Brothers. iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Play, Spreaker, the Podcast Brothers. Write comments, leave reviews. Help your boys climb the ladder, man. Kendra, thank you again for coming by. I scared you. Scaredy cat. Jesus. Kendra, thanks for coming by. Everybody, this is episode 9 of Podcast Brothers.
Peace out.
Now is the chance to use reliable energy to grow your money with the Dominion Energy Reliability Investment. Our new investment product offers competitive returns, no maintenance fees, and flexible online access to your money. Make the reliable investment in reliable energy, the Dominion Energy Reliability Investment. To find out more, go online to reliabilityinvestment.com. That's reliabilityinvestment.com.
I don't mean to be so uptight, but my heart's been hurt a couple times by a couple guys that didn't treat me right. I ain't gonna lie, I ain't gonna lie.
Alexa, play Meant to Be.
Okay.
If it's meant to be, it'll be, it'll be. Baby, just let it be. If it's meant to be, it'll be.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get access to over 50 million songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.